Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by San Francisco State University's graduate business programs offering 5 accredited advanced degrees, the SF State MBA, rigorous, real-world, respected, open house schedule, and more information at mba.sfsu.edu.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The state Supreme Court has unanimously ruled that public school students sexually abused by school employees may sue the district for negligence in hiring and supervising. The ruling revives a 14-year-old's lawsuit in Santa Clarita involving a counselor who was later fired and ultimately arrested at a motel with another boy. An attorney for the district says this ruling will ensnare administrators in litigation whether or not allegations prove true. If preseason predictions hold up, California fishermen can look forward to a great year for Chinook salmon. It's a welcome development, but also something of a mystery, as Dan Brecke explains.
Just a few years ago, Chinook salmon in California were on the critical list, and fishing was shut down. Now, biologists say waters off the coast are teeming with salmon. Sports fishing is set to begin in early April. Commercial fishing will be less restricted than in the past few years and begin in May. Experts say it's hard to explain why salmon are surging now. Dave Bitts of McKinleyville in Humboldt County is president of the Pacific Coast Federation of Fishermen's Associations.
The biggest question is probably, gee whiz, what went right? And how can we do that again?
Things that have gone right for salmon the last couple of years include more rain, better river flows, some restrictions on pumping in the Delta, and better ocean conditions, meaning mostly more food for the fish. For the California Report, I'm Dan Brecke.
Biologists leading a third-grade field trip at Big Bear Lake earlier this week were surprised to spot a baby bald eagle, the first recorded chick in the San Bernardino Mountains since humans started paying attention 34 years ago. Bald eagles have been reproducing elsewhere in Southern California, most notably in a captive breeding program on the Channel Islands. The happy parents at Big Bear have been nicknamed Lucy and Ricky, their offspring Jack, although biologists don't really know the bird's gender since they're watching it from a half mile away. There are a number of cities in California where the city council or the county board of supervisors or the school board does not reflect the racial diversity of the population. Maybe the local politics haven't caught up with demographic changes. Maybe there's resistance to catching up. Whatever the case, the gap is under attack from civil rights lawyers. Reporter Will Evans of California Watch, a project of the Center for Investigative Reporting, joins us to explain what he's learned for a story out today. Your reporting uncovered some 14 cities where all-white councils preside, another 21 where you have Latino majorities and only one minority on the city council. Is this a problem all over the state, evenly spread out? Are there clustered particular parts of the state where it's worse?
I found that most of them were clustered in Southern California and the L.A. region, although there are some in Central Valley, and they range throughout the state, but a lot in L.A.
Why do you think that is? Why L.A. County in particular?
There have been studies that showed racially polarized voting in L.A., meaning different races vote differently. That is an element to this debate.
It's not necessarily a white thing. The California Report has covered a story out of Compton, which just settled a lawsuit over the fact their city council is all black, despite a rising population of Latinos. But is Compton the exception to the rule?
No, I think any city or school district can be vulnerable to this law. Basically, it says that cities and school districts and hospital districts can't have at-large elections if that's impairing the ability of minorities to choose their candidates of choice. And the minority could be Latino in a city dominated by a black leadership. It could be whites even. It could be Asians. So it's not only these white-dominated boards that are the issue, although that's where most of the action has been centered.
That law, you're referring specifically to the California Voting Rights Act of 2001. Why are we seeing a flurry of lawsuits only now?
The folks that crafted this law, they're also the lawyers that have been pursuing these lawsuits. They've been working on this for really decades. It's picked up a lot recently, I think, because of new census data. You know, you can prove these cases easier by overlapping racial demographics and voting statistics.
It seems like state law favors what's called district elections over at-large elections. And I'm wondering if you can explain that to our audience.
Yeah, at-large elections are basically where everyone in the community votes for all of the city council members or all the school board members, whereas district elections are where, you know, one specific area of town votes for their representative. The forces behind this law do not think that at-large elections are good, because if the whole city's voting, you know, and you're only 40% of the city, you're voting for one candidate and the 60% is voting for another candidate, 60% is going to win, right? So the idea is carve it into districts, and the Latino part of town or the Black part of town will be able to elect exactly who they want.
Then why don't city councils and community college districts switch to district elections right now or at the earliest opportunity? Why wait for a letter from a civil rights lawyer?
Well, some are. Some school districts are changing. They don't want to get sued. But I think also you're finding this could change the power structure in a city or a school district. The people who are in power may not get elected under a new system, and they're the ones making the call. So why jeopardize your own, you know, political future?
And does the underlying assumption of this law that district elections deliver more diverse political winners, has that assumption borne out as well?
In some cases, yes. In other cases, no. You had one of the landmark cases in Modesto. They got sued. They changed to district elections, and the racial makeup didn't change in the end. You know, what the civil rights lawyers are suing would say is, you know, give it time.
Well, thank you for coming and talking with us about this.
Thank you.
Reporter Will Evans focuses on money and politics for California Watch, a project of the Center for Investigative Reporting. You'll find a link to Will Evans' story on our website, californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Friday, March 9th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering by Seal Muller and Howard Gelman. Nina Thorson directed the show. Our interns are Andres Barraza and Liz Reed. The editor is Dan Brecky. Pat Flynn was a contributing editor. The senior online editor is Gabriel Cohn, with help from David Marks. The producer this week is Polly Stryker. The senior producer is Victoria Malione. The executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, with nomination information about the 2013 Leadership Awards at www.irvine.org, and Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as email archiving for compliance and litigation readiness. Barracuda.com.